Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. That's the name of this program. Today's Issues, and joining me to co-host today is Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. We're here ready to go.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Hey, happy Election Day, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. What are your plans today?
Well, you know, I'm doing this. The weather here in Kansas City is beautiful. I think I should celebrate by taking a bike ride if I can squeeze. I've already voted, right? So maybe.
Oh, when did you? What time did you vote?
Yesterday morning.
Okay.
Early voting, and it was jam packed before 8 o'clock yesterday morning. So I don't know what it's like today. I just hear it's crazy all over the country right now with a lot of people at the polls.
Absolutely, that's the same thing we're hearing. I know, Fred, you experienced that. You went in this morning, Fred?
Yeah, well, I've heard reports from people who've already voted this morning, and the various precincts around our hometown here in Tupelo. And everybody is reporting they've seen nothing like this in the way of crowds lined up, long lines around buildings waiting to vote.
Yeah, I don't think the Trump campaign is going to be waiting up tonight to see if he won Mississippi, though.
No.
Kansas, for that
right,
matter.
Nor Kansas. We're going red all the way.
Right, Kansas and Mississippi are red states, where Ray lives and where we live. Let me ask you, but the point of me asking that, Walker, to Fred, is this may be indicative of, well, it is, if you look at the, I'm talking about participation by Americans in a presidential election, maybe the highest ever. We're hearing reports of long lines everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, historically, early voting favors Democrats. And election day voting favors Republicans. That's just the nature of it. And we've had historic numbers that we're seeing already of early voting or mail-in voting, historic levels. And then we're getting reports of very long lines today. So both of those could be historic on the numbers. But I went this morning before I came into work, and it was the most people I've seen at my voting precinct since I've been voting there probably 3 or 4 years. And it's the most people I've seen there. You know, I could typically go during 2016 and during the primary, 2018. I could vote in and out probably in 10 minutes maximum, virtually no line. And this morning I had to wait 30 minutes to vote, probably 75 people in line at least.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in a big city in Tupelo, Mississippi. So it's looking like we're going to see historic numbers.
Yeah. How many people have voted already, Fred?
They're saying upwards of 100 million have voted already across the country.
And that's do you know what percentage of votes total that represents?
I'm not sure, but I think it's at least 50%.
Really?
I stand to be corrected on that. But I think it's at least 50%.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about
total votes in the country.
Yeah.
Let's just see.
Go ahead and see.
Total voted in 2016.
I think there's 320 million Americans. Of course, probably 15% of those would be underage. I don't know.
I think I read somewhere where usually or in past there have been fewer than 200 million actually vote.
In 2016, let's just break it down on presidential level.
Mm.
Hillary Clinton received 65 million votes. President Trump, received 62 million, I'm rounding here, votes. So you add that together, that's almost 130 million votes.
Yeah.
Total after when elections polls close. So we're at 70, if my math's right, 80% or more, mm-hmm. roughly, I'm doing this math on the fly, of total votes for 2016 already counted.
Unless there's more people that vote this time.
Yes.
Well, the total number, Tim, is going to be much larger than 4 years ago, right? It's going to be 140, 145, could be 150 million people to vote.
Wow.
So Yeah.
It's amazing.
Historic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of political energy out there. There is no question
about
it.
This is good, and it's good because people are engaged, and no matter which side you're voting for, this is good that Americans are paying attention to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes during election cycles, not everyone's engaged, turnout's low, and that's just not good for the country, no matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. So the more turnout is just good for the country overall. So this is exciting.
Walker, tell folks what we're going to be doing tonight.
We will be having live election coverage here on American Family Radio beginning at 6 p.m. Central on American Family Radio. So you can listen to our radio stations all across the country, listen to the election coverage. But you can also go to our website, AFR.net, beginning at 6 p.m. Central, AFR.net. And we will be video streaming the election coverage on our website, AFR.net.
We all already have some results, folks. New Hampshire, Dixville Notch, 5 votes for Joe Biden. Down the road in Millsfield, New Hampshire, 16 votes cast there, and 16 votes for Trump, and Biden got 5. So Trump takes a slight lead in those small communities in New Hampshire.
That's a trend. That's a trend.
I was there a Trump rally there?
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
If he would have had a rally there, he'd have done better with those 5 votes.
There you go.
From what town was that?
Well, Dixville Notch, it's famous.
They call it a town.
Yes. Since the 1960s, they prided themselves in being the first to vote in elections.
Now, Biden could have held a rally there,
Yeah.
With the 5 people.
3 cars.
That was a cheap shot. But folks, I recognize that. That was... Oh, I went the other day. This has been the most bizarre political year I can remember. The other day, I mean, you see these reports on TV, a lot of them, and you see these stories, and you just go, did that just happen? The other day you had Biden at a rally, and maybe this is the way his rallies went, where you got Biden up there on the stage, and then you got cars, like a drive-in theater, the old drive-in theaters, and you got, I don't know, 15 or 20 cars out there, and when he says something they approve of, they honk. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Huh? They're honking. It's just, it reminded me of the geese, from a couple months back when the geese flew by the former vice president's house and honked. All right. So we will be here tonight starting at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. The polls close in a lot of states on the Eastern time zone at 7, right, Fred?
That is correct. So we're coming on the air at 6, and one of the states right off the bat where the polls will be closing is Florida, but we already have a huge indication of how things have been going.
You're serious now?
No, I'm serious.
There you go.
The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, was on Fox this morning giving us an early indication because they've been voting there both by mail-in, both by early voting like Ray was doing yesterday. And so he gave us a little indication of how things are going so far. Cut number 7.
So Democrats, because their folks have pushed them to the mail, they had a big margin on the mail ballots. Republicans have now gone away from mail. They want to see that ballot go in. So we had a big advantage in in-person early voting. The net of that was about 1.2% Democrat ballot advantage, which is less than 2016. Now on election day, I mean, we're looking at some of these counties, even Palm Beach, Republicans, 20 points more turnout already this morning than registered Democrats. Wow. So I think you're going to see a decisive Republican advantage today. And I just think it's going to wipe out the very small advantage that the Democrats had going into election day.
29 electoral votes there, and so that's one of the states we'll be watching very early tonight.
Well, of course, the pressure, the pressure's on both candidates. But if this were a sporting event, the pressure is on President Trump to keep making first downs, if I can borrow a football analogy. Don't give up the ball, because by that I mean he has to win Florida, or he doesn't win. He doesn't have a chance. You can go home early tonight. So he has to win Florida, He has to win North Carolina, and he has to win Ohio. Those three states are necessary for the president to have a chance. Then he has. Then you can say, okay, what does the playing field look like now? You know, where are we? How can we score to win? But he has to have those three. That kind of pressure is not on Joe Biden. So that's just everybody knows that. But I just wanted to point out Florida, the governor of Florida says that he feels like the Republicans slash Donald Trump are in very good shape based on the numbers he just gave leading up to Election Day. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. If you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. However, I should point out that the president has been ahead in Ohio. He won Ohio. He won North Carolina. He's been tied or just behind in polling in North Carolina. So, for what that's worth. And some polls have shown the president ahead in North Carolina. So, speaking of North Carolina, our good friend Dr. Frank Turek, who lives in the Tar Heel State, joins us now as he does most Tuesdays. Good morning, Frank.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How about yourself? You voted?
Yeah, I voted a couple weeks ago, actually, and
Did you go down somewhere and vote, or did you mail it in?
Oh, no, I went down to a place to vote. But I got to ask you guys a question, because I just can't see, given the enthusiasm for Trump, how the Democrats win unless they cheat massively. What do you think?
That's what you call a loaded question. Get in trouble question. Opinions on cheating. All right, Ray, I'll give you first shot at this.
Look, there's already.
Be careful. I'll just warn you, careful.
Yes, sir. There's already some skullduggery, that's a good word, going on up in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. But there always is, right? Yeah. Philadelphia's an exciting place every time there's a big election. That's going to get sorted out. But I want to say to Frank's larger point, Frank, you're 100% right. In the last 2 weeks, the enthusiasm has gone completely in President Trump's direction. And so if you look at it in football terms, you know, one guy's stumbling across the finish line and the other guy's got the ball and he's going down the field and people are cheering for him. I think all the enthusiasm, the momentum is on President Trump's side as voting takes place
today. Walker, then Fred, then Frank can answer his own question.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, there it's possible there could be some mischievous things going on at polling places across the country. That happens every election cycle. Hopefully it's not on a wide scale. I think it's logistically hard to do fraud on a massive scale, just because there's so many checks and balances in place. But nonetheless, I think the enthusiasm gap is very, very wide, underestimated amongst the pollsters and the media. And I think if turnout is what it's looking like it's going to be at the end of the day today, I just don't see how Biden's camp is able to pull out enough people to overcome the Trump enthusiasm.
Fred?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Walker and Ray as far as enthusiasm goes. As I've been saying for the last two or three weeks, when President Trump hit the road and started holding these rallies, I mean, you got 50,000 people showing up, and some of them driving 5 hours, and then they wait 5 hours for the president to arrive. He speaks for an hour and a half, and they're still cheering him at the end. Yeah. Last night, he wrapped up his last rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Had a huge crowd there. Then he goes home. He gets home back to the White House, 3:30 in the morning. There's a huge crowd surrounding the White House cheering him on.
Yeah, and then he gets up and does Fox and Friends at like 6:30.
3 hours later, he's up doing interviews on Fox and Friends.
One thing I want to say, and before Frank answers his own question, you know, I'm seeing what I'm predicting this. The Democrats, and I've already seen some of them do it, I think if it doesn't go how they want it to go, meaning a Biden victory, they're going to try to delegitimize the results. Because I've already seen it with James Clyburn, a congressman on, is actually on Fox News yesterday, and I've seen it with other spokespersons for the Democrat Party. I saw it from Joe Biden's spokesperson last night saying, unless it is a Biden landslide, then no winner should be declared tomorrow night. unless it's Biden. So I think if it doesn't go how they want it to go, they immediately are going to begin undermining the results.
Yeah, but some people are saying that's been President Trump's attitude too. He's saying the same type things, that he's delegitimizing the vote by saying, you know, what's happening in Pennsylvania. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that both sides are saying it. Go, Frank.
Tim, it's not without reason. You guys remember back in 2012 when Romney was going against Obama, and there were precincts in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly shove, that had 117% turnout or 134% turnout and zero votes for Romney, 100% for Obama. Do you remember this?
Mm. Yeah, I remember that.
What's someone like Trump going to do about something like shows up that way?
He's lawyered up. Mm-hmm. President Trump is lawyered to the hilt, and so is the Biden campaign. So everybody's ready to go to court. The one thing that, by the way, I do not agree with Clyburn's accusation against President Trump, nor do I think President Trump is trying to suppress the vote or participate in voter fraud. I'm just saying that the other side, like Clyburn, he's throwing, bombs over mm-hmm. toward the president, saying he's trying to affect the election in not a good way. Now, I think what we need to do here is just wait and see what happens, right, and see if there are any shenanigans out there. I do think you're right, Walker. Things are so sophisticated today. It's not like the old days. You know, maybe 50, 100 years ago, where you could cheat and maybe not be caught. I think the checks and balances are there. And if you have something like what Frank just said happens, you know, that's going to jump out at people. That's going to be noticed. That's going to be contested. So, North Carolina, your home state, what's going to happen there?
Well, I think my friend Dan Forrest, who's running for governor, will prevail. You know, he got more votes than Trump did in 2016, and he was running for lieutenant governor. Now he's going to be governor. I mean, you can't not vote for Run Forrest Run. That's his slogan. So he's the governor. He may actually pull Trump across the line. And we have a Senate race here between Tom Tillis, who's the Republican, and Cal Cunningham, who's the Democrat. And Cal Cunningham has been discovered in recent weeks to actually have committed adultery, and he's in the military, which means this is a UCMJ issue. And literally, if he wins the Senate, he could be a senator from Leavenworth, Kansas, because he could be in prison mm-hmm. because of committing adultery in the military with the wife of another veteran.
Yep.
And this is mm-hmm. the guy running for Senate against Tom Tillis, who's the current senator. And so, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But the people still listening can vote, and they should go out and vote. And there's one thing we haven't talked about yet. I just want to mention, and I don't know if people actually read the platforms anymore, but this is what it says on page 40 of the Democratic platform. This hasn't been brought out yet, but I'm quoting now. Democrats are committed to standing up to racism and bigotry in our laws, in our culture, in our politics, and in our society, and recognize that race-neutral policies are not sufficient to rectify race-based disparities. Translation, ladies and gentlemen. They want to use race to divide people and give certain races advantages over other races. That's what they want. That's in their platform on page 40. Now, as we all know, there's only one race, the human race, but they want different ethnic groups to have advantages now. And that is right in their platform, in addition to the fact that they want to pay for abortions and have the government pay for abortions. So I'm having a real hard time lining up with the Democrat platform.
Yeah, the Democrat platform, that's their stated position of their party officially because they adopted it with delegates, right, from all over the country. So
yes.
That's the position of the Democrat Party.
Along that line, can I ask Frank a question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Along that line, Frank, we've had people who call themselves evangelicals out there saying, what's wrong with evangelicals voting for Democrats this time? We shouldn't be upset about that.
Well, I actually did a complete video that's on our YouTube channel, the Cross Examine YouTube channel. The title is, Does Jesus Trump Your Politics? And the short answer to this is that Jesus said to the politicians of his day, who were the Pharisees, remember, Rome delegated a lot of the political authority to the Sanhedrin, on whom the Pharisees served. And here's what he said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, because you're tithing your spices, yet neglecting the weightier matters of the law." What is the weightiest matter of the law in our nation? In any nation, it's to protect innocent life. And our government is not doing that right now. And the Democrat Party in particular does not want to do it. In fact, they want the government to pay for the taking of innocent life. So if Jesus were here today, I think he would scold our politicians for telling us what light bulbs we can and can't use, but not telling us don't murder our children. Life is the greatest issue, because the right to life is the right to all other rights. If you don't have life, you don't have anything. And I like to say this, look, being pro-life does not qualify you to necessarily be a president or a good senator or a congressman, but being pro-abortion disqualifies you, because you are neglecting the weightiest matter of the law.
Mm. Well said. Thank you, Frank, for being on with us, brother. Appreciate it very much.
I think I'll be on with you tonight, too. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you will. And tell our folks about your podcast and so forth.
Yeah, the podcast, the radio program's on live at 9 a.m. this Saturday here,
right here on
American Family
AFR.
Radio Network. It turns into a podcast as well. They could get it at iTunes. They can download our free app, the Cross-Examined app, in the iTunes store or in the App Store. By the way, we just had a podcast or a radio show last week. I had Scott Klusendorf on. He's the head of the Life Training Institute. And we talked about this issue, should Christians be one-issue voters? And our conclusion was, no, we shouldn't be one-issue voters, but we're one-issue disqualifiers. In other words, if somebody isn't pro-life, they're disqualified.
Mm. Very good point. Hadn't heard it put like that.
Amen.
That's a great way to put it. Thanks, Frank. See you tonight.
All right. God bless you guys. Okay. Get out and vote, people.
Absolutely. Dr. Frank Turek joining us from North Carolina. Again, as Walker said earlier, we will be here this evening. This whole team here will be here. I don't know, Ray may be on. You going to be on a couple times, Ray?
Yes, sir. I'll be around when you need me.
Our reporter from Kansas there, Kansas City, will be on with us. Listen, folks, you can join us tonight, and Walker's going to tell you how.
Yes, you can, of course, if you get one of our terrestrial radio stations, you can listen live there. But also, we will be live streaming the coverage here in our studios on AFR.net. So AFR.net, go there, and you'll be able to catch it beginning at 6 p.m. Central.
You know, the pregame meal's at 5:30, right?
That's right, but I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want
everyone
to show up.
We have got the pregame meal all set. Your mama did that. She didn't cook it. She ordered it.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Doesn't matter whether you order to cook it. The main thing is that the food's here. And so win, lose, or draw, we're going to eat good. I'll tell you that right now. All right. We're going to take a break right here. And when we get back, Sandy will be with us. Sandy Rios will be with us in just a few minutes. And Fred's got more news to bring to our attention.
Amen.
It looks like a very nice weather day across the country, right, Ray?
Beautiful. Beautiful. No reason not to vote. I mean, this is as nice a weather day as you're going to have in November in America.
All across the country. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us, folks.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours. for 2021. We'll be going in June and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian Heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow. The history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Today is decision day for America. Our next president will either be Donald Trump or Joe Biden, freedom or socialism. It's very rare voters have such a black and white choice. There is no wiggle room. The fate of our nation now hangs in the balance. The mainstream media, the pollsters, Hollywood, they want you to believe Joe Biden is going to win this race in a landslide. That's what they tell us. But that's not what I've seen. I've traveled all over this great nation. I've seen the passion and the energy of Trump supporters, the caravans, the rallies, the boat flotillas, the silent majority. Clearly, there is a disconnect between what the mainstream media is reporting and what is actually happening. So do not be surprised if today the silent majority roars with a mighty voice. Be sure to download my podcast and listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You know what, Fred, I was thinking. Fred Ray and Walker with me. I'm Tim. Thanks for listening to AFR. If Joe Biden doesn't win, there's going to be some heads exploding on television tonight.
Mainstream media is just going to go nuts. They are.
Are they going to lead the riots?
Will they lead the riots? I think.
Rachel Maddow be out there in front of the White House?
There's one, I think, was it Morning Joe that said they're not going to carry any speeches from Trump if it looks like he's going to have a victory tonight. They're not even going to carry the speech.
They think, you know, this is the thing with the mainstream media and many of these pundits. They say things about President Trump that he never said.
Mm-hmm.
They take words and they twist them. Now, I'm not saying Republicans can't do that. Sometimes the Democrats, I think all politicians do, they take, especially in campaign season, they'll take what you say and oftentimes take it out of context. So I'm not saying in the history of politics this hasn't been done before. But I've never seen it on the scale that is with President Trump. They want to say that, by they, I mean the meaning of the mainstream media, they're saying that President Trump's not going to accept the results and he's going to stay in the White House and he's going to, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of crazy things that he never said, Walker.
Right.
But they say he says, and it goes out there across the country, gets on social media, and you have all these people who start to believe, well, President Trump's, he thinks he's a dictator. He's going to call out the military and not leave the White House. That kind of nutty stuff.
Yeah, the Democrats are trying, or they're not trying, they are. They are projecting on President Trump that which they themselves are guilty of. So it is Democrats who have said that they will not accept the results of the election unless it is a Joe Biden landslide. The Biden campaign, along with Hillary Clinton, have said Biden should only concede if he wins, or well, he wouldn't be conceding. He should only accept the results.
No, Hillary Clinton said that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. Now, I don't know whether she meant tonight, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what? But she did say that about 2 months ago.
Yeah, and then the conspiracy theorists out there on the left have been saying, well, President Trump's going to use the military to stay in the White House, yeah, and he's going to extend his presidency 4 more years against the will of the American people. It's actually the Democrats that have been petitioning the Defense Department to physically remove the president from the White House. We had two top military officials who are now hardcore Democrats. They wrote a letter to Miley, the Defense Department leader, and asked him to remove President Trump from the White House should he not accept the results of the election, to use the 82nd Airborne to drive tanks to the White House and remove Donald Good Trump. Night. So it is the Democrats who are doing this Looney Tunes stuff, but they're trying to project it on Donald Trump.
Yeah. Ray, what are your thoughts on this?
So where is this going to leave us if late tonight it's clear that the president has won re-election? I mean, it's going to take a few hours. So when we go in there,
if it's clear, you said if it's clear?
Then that Trump has won re-election. But that's not going to happen at 6 p.m. tonight, Central Time. It's going to be a few hours at the earliest for that. What's going to happen if it's clear he's won re-election, but the networks don't want to call it? They just go together and say, we're not going. Where does that leave the nation then? Puts the whole country in a very dangerous place.
Well, they'll have to call it. They'll have to call it. This is my feelings, is if the numbers become obvious, as they were 4 years ago, you get to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, there's no more polls to report. Now, the caveat I say there is if it's a razor-thin race and then you have a lot of ballots to count, which will determine, then you'll have to wait.
Well, sure.
You're right.
Okay.
But you're saying it's clear that Trump won.
All right. Look, in this following scenario, Mr. Trump has a lead and a good lead. Let's say by 10, 11 o'clock tonight in Arizona, he's going to carry Texas, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio. And he picks up one of the Rust Belt states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Phil, you know, Pennsylvania, who knows what's going to happen there. It seems to me it would be in Mr. Trump's best interest. If he has a clear lead over 270 at that point, I think he should come out and declare victory and not wait for NBC to give him permission to say that.
Right.
He is the president.
Right.
I think Fox News, in the scenario you gentlemen are talking about, I think Fox News will call it. You know, MSNBC, yep, NBC, CNN may not. But Fox News, I believe, would call it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is telling about where we are as a country and where the two parties are. Because, look, Republicans will accept the results of the election. If there's not evidence of widespread voter fraud in these different battleground states and Joe Biden happens to be the winner, clearly, fair and square, Republicans aren't going to begin assaulting and undermining our institutions and the way our laws
whoa,
work.
Whoa, 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 Walker. Have you not been paying attention to the news? There are right-wing militias ready to pounce and riot all over America right now. That's why stores are boarding up.
Yeah.
Do you not know this?
Fake news.
Huh?
Fake news.
No, well, fake news, yes, but I'm being facetious.
Which part fake news?
I'm being facetious to make a point which I asked you before the program, and that is, why are all these cities boarding up? These stores, these famous Rodeo Drive in L.A. and
right.
Is because not right-wing, quote, militias are threatening to riot, loot, burn, steal, pillage. It's who?
It's Democrat grassroots.
Well, not
voters.
Democrat Party. It's who?
It's people who vote for Democrats. These are, when you look at the people who are arrested in Portland, Seattle, Chicago, California, New York City, these are in large part Democrat operatives. These are people who organize grassroots at the grassroots level for the Democrat Party. They're Bernie Sanders folks. And so these are Democrat cities boarding up. If you look at the cities and the stores boarding up, it's in It's in cities that are run by Democrats and have been for decades.
That's right. That's right.
And
it's
so
Antifa.
The people that right. the intelligence community, that the FBI, they're all planning for is for Joe Biden people to not accept the results of the election. Thus, they're going to go to the streets and burn things down.
Yep.
And they've said that.
That's what the country's preparing for tonight.
Yes. That's why people are boarding up their stores in some of these big cities.
Yep.
Fred?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And President Trump was talking about all of this violence this morning. And you know, the cops are caught in the middle on this. Many times being told by these Democrat leaders of these cities to stand down and let this happen. I mean, this is insanity. Here's the president this morning talking about this. It's cut one.
They have the cops stand back and watch looters walk washing machines and televisions out of stores. It's a shame to watch it. I watched what happened in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I looked at that, and you see the cops stand by. And, you know, they're good cops. The Philadelphia cops are good cops. They don't want to stand back, but they're told to stand back. And these kids and wise guys and anarchists, agitators, looters and rioters, I mean, that's what they are. When they see weakness, they go for it. It's a shame.
Yeah, all this rioting, I believe, is helping to motivate people to vote for Trump. They want to see an end to this. And, I mean, I think that's why you're going to start to see, and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, I think alluded to this, even in what has been Democrat strongholds, they're getting fed up with these Democrat leaders allowing their cities to be torn apart because it's Democrats that are losing their jobs. These businesses, let's say in Portland and Seattle, a lot of Democrats work in these businesses that have been boarded up and forced to shut down and move somewhere else. The Democratic Party is praising these rioters who are really putting Democrats out of work.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, America's been waiting for...
Your mic was muted.
Pardon me. America's been waiting for one key person to speak on the presidential election, and yesterday Lady Gaga spoke, and she has endorsed Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden. She said something crude yesterday in reference to the president, and I'm being serious about this. I read where she, never mind. She is anti-fracking, and he calls her in, Biden does, to campaign in Pennsylvania. Who knows? Well, I know it makes no sense at all. Yeah, but he did, and the campaign did. Now, here's the thing. Here's the kind of thing that some of these liberals do against President Trump. Again, unfair, but they do it anyway. She said that President Trump wants to grab your daughters. And then she used a crude, I think we all know what I'm talking about here. This is what Lady Gaga, she's a Greek name, I can't pronounce her real last name, but she says that the president Trump wants to grab your daughters by the, you know, and so what I'm saying is this the kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that really where you're going with this appeal to go vote for Joe Biden? Because, well, it made me think about the accusation against Joe Biden made by that Tara Reid, his former staffer. You know, President Trump said something crudely on Access Hollywood, was it, ever, mm-hmm. 10 years ago or whenever it was?
Right.
Joe Biden was accused of actually doing what the president was said to be.
Yeah,
talking about
this is another indicator. It's so clear that the Democrat Party is so out of touch with not just, you know, people who like Trump, but they're out of touch with even their own constituents. Because then Hillary Clinton did the same thing. They bring these big pop stars from Hollywood that people don't really care what Lady Gaga thinks. They
want to
know
Walker.
What you're going to do for them, what you're going to do for them.
Both sides use celebrities sometimes to get, you know, attention or to try to help gin up votes from a particular demographic. Lady Gaga, I don't know. who she's really appealing to out there, that they want to have her on the platform. But nevertheless, she was out there. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. And again, vote. We will be here this evening. Voting stops at 7 o'clock Eastern time. 7 o'clock local time, whatever your time zone is. That's when voting stops in most all states. Now, I'm wondering, Ray and Fred, I'll start with you, Fred. I'm wondering whether you could see polls stay open longer than 7 o'clock local time.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
Because of long lines. Now, that would I think that has to have a judge.
Yeah, a group has to petition a judge, a local judge,
right,
to allow it to extend it. And sometimes it has to do with weather. A lot, you know.
Long lines, though.
Or long lines.
Yeah.
So we could see that kind of thing. But as Ray has pointed out, and you've been looking at the forecast, the weather today is not going to be an excuse. The long lines, it is possible, depending on how long those lines are. But I think we are, when you tune in tonight, folks, at 6 o'clock for our program, one of the things I always look forward to is the exit polling that a lot of the agencies do. They actually talk to people who have already voted that day to get an indication. So we're going to get the first indication pretty quickly as to what the mood of the country is. And I think the energy that we're seeing, we've talked about this morning, the energy at the polling stations, I think it favors Donald Trump.
Well, not according to the polls, Fred. Can you read the polls?
Yeah, you know how I feel about polls, Tim.
I know you do. Let me just say this about the polls. I've been following Real Clear Politics. I've mentioned this before. I go there 4 or 5 times a day to check it out. and what they do there is they average all the polls. So you get an idea of, you know, you get a better idea of what the score is. The Real Clear Politics average for Pennsylvania has been dropping from like over 5% for Vice President Biden to last night or this morning it was 1.6, I think. Do you see that in front of you, Ray?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It has been dropping. So even Real Clear Politics,
right,
is reflecting the reality on the ground that Pennsylvania is swinging toward the president. I mean, he's had these.
Yeah.
How many did he have at that huge rally?
57,000, they said.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I've never heard anything like that.
At night, and it was cold. Yeah. Of course, I know Pennsylvania folks are used to cold, but still.
Yeah, and you had the Pittsburgh Gazette, for the first time in years, endorsed Donald Trump, a Republican. First time in years endorsed a Republican, endorsed Donald Trump the other day. Pittsburgh Gazette, which is the second biggest paper in that state.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll know a lot tonight by certainly 9, 10 o'clock Central Time, or Eastern Time, rather, I should say. We'll know as the numbers start to come in from Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, in particular, Pennsylvania, those states will determine. Well, those states, North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio, as I mentioned, determine whether we go on through the night. Because President Trump needs to clean sweep those to be able to contest the rest of the evening. I think that's the conventional wisdom, isn't it, Ray? Don't you think so?
Well, he's got to do well in Florida.
Yeah.
And at least through this point in the morning, he's doing very well in Florida.
Yeah.
That could
according
change,
to the governor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now, and there's reports of just how many Republicans versus Democrats have voted so far. And there's about 100,000 vote Republican lead at this point. That's just of actual registered Republicans versus Democrats. So he's doing good in Florida, but he's got to do good in North Carolina too. We're going to know that one fairly early in the evening, I think.
Yeah. You know, regionally, you can pretty well predict presidential politics in America now. I mean, West Coast, going to be all blue. California, Oregon, Washington. Republicans have no chance there. And the same can be said of New England. Now, what used to be, Texas has always been red, and I think will continue to be red, as is most all of the South, right? Name South Carolina, I mean, North Carolina is really the only state. It is the South and it isn't. Florida is the South till you get to Orlando. You get south of Orlando, Florida is a big mix of people from all over the world, quite frankly. But certainly a lot of people have moved down from New York and so forth and so on. So, but the interesting, I'd like you to comment on this, Ray, because you lived in Chicago for a long time. You hung out with Midwesterners for right. many years. I find it interesting if the dichotomy is the word between Ohio, Indiana, Iowa. All right.
Right.
Those are Midwestern states, big heartland, big
sure.
big Ten country. Okay, but if you go above that, you get to Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. It's like Ohio, Indiana, Iowa, red, Michigan, but right above that, border states, Michigan, and we'll see tonight. I'm just saying that traditionally in the presidential elections, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota are blue states. Why is that? Do you have any idea?
Well, the one state I want to comment on is Michigan. They are the automobile industry is up there. They have a lot of other industry, and they have huge labor unions. And the labor unions, historically, right, have been controlled by people who lean to the left, and they basically send the word out: if you're going to work here and be part of the union, you're going to vote for the Democrats. So that's been true of Michigan in a bigger extent than some of those other states, like compared with say Indiana. Compared with, say, Ohio. That's at least one thing. That's
Ohio and Michigan, of course, they hate each other in football. I know that. But but they're border state. That explains it. What do you say about Wisconsin and Minnesota? What differentiates them, you think? Fred, do you have any thoughts on that?
Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Why do they always go blue?
Well, I think when you look at Minnesota, as our friend Jan Markell has told us, they've had a huge influx in recent years from Somalia, which is why they have a member of the squad there.
Were George McGovern before George McGovern was cool.
I think when you talk about metropolitan areas,
that's it.
That's what we're talking about here, not the rural areas. We see this over and over again. When you talk about Wisconsin, you look at Madison. You look at the university community. Likewise, when you look at Minneapolis, you don't judge all of Minnesota, but Minneapolis is going to be core. You know, they're so whacked out there, that left-wing mayor that they have in Minneapolis. Yeah. I mean, one of the ballot measures is to defund the police department completely.
Yeah, blue follows the big population centers.
It just does.
Yeah,
right.
It just does. And a lot of it has to do with university, the so-called academic highbrow people.
So maybe it's not really blue versus red. It's who has, if you got a big city that dominates a state, then the rest of the state has to almost vote universally the same way or they don't have a chance.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. I mean, the political makeup of Philadelphia is so different than you move out.
Yeah, you look at the
100 miles.
You look at the county map from 2016.
Yeah,
over the whole country. I mean, you look at President Trump won. I don't know. I'd say between 70% and 80% of the counties in the country.
Sure.
But then you add in Atlanta, New York City, Miami,
Chicago. People tell me Atlanta's changing Georgia.
Right.
In the same way, Chicago dominates Illinois. It's not quite there yet, but. You know, like we said, it turning into a big city versus rural America, sort of that's the red versus blue
sure.
battle that's going on.
I think one of the things and we may not know this for a couple of weeks, but I think this election is also going to represent a shift in the percentage of black vote and Latino vote in this country. And the switch is going to be towards the Republicans. It's been talked about, but I think this, we're going to get a chance to measure this a little bit more accurately after tonight. And let's go back to Florida for a second. You look at the support that Trump has amongst Cubans living in Florida, Puerto Ricans. This is going to be part of the Florida story tonight, is that you're going to see that movement. I think you're going to see some of that in the results coming out of Arizona. And I do believe there is a possibility, you may laugh at me for this, there is a possibility that we that the Republicans will regain some House seats in California as well. I go back to when Trump went to Orange County a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened there in Orange County? I think tonight is going to hold some real surprises and some trending changes in this country.
You know, how COVID was handled, I think, is also going to be a contributing factor. Because there were a lot of people that I know who weren't really big into politics before COVID. And then their mayor and their governor came in and shut down their business.
Right.
And it made them furious because they couldn't pay their mortgage.
Yeah.
So that is on the ballot. And it's I don't know how it's going to play itself out. But that frustration there is has to show up somewhere on the ballot.
Hey, Fred, any chance then, back to the House, any chance Republicans take back the House? You want to go that far?
It's a deep prayer amongst many people just to have a look at Nancy Pelosi's face if she would lose the House.
I think, the difference is 17 seats. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's within reach, right?
And I would hope that they would replay Nancy Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union address by the president over and over again. And then the president's face saying sweet revenge on that. We'll see.
All right. Well, I got to go vote at lunch, noon. You guys have already voted, all three of you, right?
Yeah. And I would encourage folks who
can
makes...
you pay, can you, I'm not, I wouldn't say this in public. Can you pay people to move ahead and like
cut line?
Yeah. Can you?
Worth a try.
Yes, probably.
I'm willing. I got $10.
I mean,
right,
that's
here.
A private business deal between you and somebody.
That's
else.
Right. Nothing to do with the state.
If nobody behind them cares.
Yeah.
You know, and they think I'm a.
This is a personal financial transaction.
It's a member of their maybe I'm a member of their family. They've been holding. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'll let
you figure that out.
I'm asking for a friend.
I'll let you figure that out. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Let us know.
Okay. What's America?
As long as you're not disenfranchising anyone from voting.
It's America. Right. You got $10. Yeah, you can get in line ahead of me. Go ahead. Right here.
You can make a pretty good living doing that all day.
That's right.
Just stand in line?
Yeah, come on up.
Sell your
$10.
Place. That's right.
And have a sign? I'll let say, we'll let you ahead for $10?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. I might try that. All right, Fred. So we got a great lineup of guests tonight, including our own election team. We'll be here, so the coverage is going to be wall-to-wall, and we're starting at 6 o'clock Central?
6 o'clock Central.
Because on the Eastern time zone states, the polls close at when we start.
Yeah, we got about 8 states that right off the bat that will be closing polls at that hour.
The good thing is you're going to know, you know, unless it's just razor thin, we're going to know because of a lot of these key battleground states are either Eastern time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, folks, we invite you to join us. We hope you will pray for our country today. Make sure you go vote and if you haven't already, and we'll see you this evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.